Free Talk Live, and of course you're invited here to join us toll free. You can bring up anything that you want to discuss. That is what we do here on Free Talk Live. We'll take your calls about whatever's on your mind here in the studio tonight. By the way, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
And you can also join us on Skype if you prefer. Our Skype username there is lrn.fm. You do need to send a contact request first. We will approve it, and you'll be good to go from that point forward. Also, the Discord on-air call-in line room is available to you. You can reach out to us there, get on the air with us by going to discord.lrn.fm. and joining the very first room in the Discord, which is the on-air call-in line room. Of course, lots of in the news to discuss, as always. Pornhub apparently making a lot of headlines for now accepting cryptocurrency, which I guess is a big deal. This is a fairly popular website out there, and they've teamed up with Verge, which is one of the more obscure privacy coins out there. Not one of the, I would say, top market makers or anything like that. But so there's that in the news. Also, Daryl, you wanted to talk about something out of Tennessee where a KKK statue or a statue of the founder of the KKK is being put back or being stopped from being taken down. What's going on out there?
The headline is Tennessee retaliates for removal of Nathan Bedford Forrest statue in Memphis. And you
want to talk about that?
Yeah. Story from the Washington Post says a few years before Nathan Bedford Forrest became the leader of the KKK and decades before a statue of him was dedicated in Memphis, the Confederate general overlooked Fort Pillow and planned how he would destroy the beacon for escaped slaves. Numerous assaults eroded the garrison in April 1864. When the commander declared that he would not surrender, Forrest sent waves of rebels to finish off the dwindling Union troops, many of them black. A Confederate witness said afterwards, "The sight of Negro soldiers stirred the bosoms of our soldiers with courageous madness." Forrest later said the Mississippi River was blood red for 200 yards. In 1905, a statue of Forrest on horseback was dedicated in a Memphis park 40 miles south of the site of the battle and later massacre.
So this guy wasn't just a Confederate general. He was also the founder of one of the worst hate groups in the United States.
Right. And there's debate about whether or not what he created was a hate group or whether it just became a hate group after he left.
But wasn't there just a quote about how he doesn't like Negroes or something like that there? Like,
the quote is from a witness, a Confederate witness who said the sight of Negro soldiers stirred the bosoms of our soldiers with courageous madness.
Meaning it made them want to kill them? Is that what that means? What is that?
Well, you're in a war, so they were wanting to kill their opposition anyway.
But because they were black.
Because they were black, it wanted to, we wanted to kill them even worse than we wanted to kill them if they were white folk.
I see. Okay, so that was a witness, not necessarily the man himself.
Right. And again, I'm not saying that Nathan Bedford Forrest was a good guy by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
I'm simply saying that there's debate about whether or not the organization that he created was intended to be a racist group, because he left not long after creating the group.
Uh-huh.
And that's when it really rose to prominence as what we know the Klan to be.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know much about the KKK except that they've been involved in some awful things in the last 100 years in the United States.
Right.
I don't know. So it started in the 1800s then?
Just after the Civil War.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be, and again, this is based on various things that I've read, that it was supposed to just be a fraternal organization for former Confederate soldiers, and then it became a racist organization.
Right.
And again, I don't know if Forrest left before it became a racist organization, if he left because it became the racist thing.
Certainly not.
Or if he intended it to be and just, Nathan Bedford Forrest apologists say that's not what he intended it to be.
Yeah,
I wasn't there. I don't know.
It's certainly not uncommon for a group that is founded by an individual to stray from its original intentions by that individual. Once you let a board take over, once people who aren't the founder are in charge of it and that founder is then out and he's not a decision maker anymore, then it's like, good luck. Hope it stays true to your vision.
Democracy, Ian.
Well, right. Is that democracy? I mean, that's just, you know.
Well, okay. Well, democracy is a majority of people plurality. That make decisions,
okay. The board members.
Decide to do a thing.
True.
So continuing on with the article here about why we're actually talking about Nathan Bedford Forrest, on Tuesday, nearly 154 years to the day that the troops obliterated the fort, Forrest Ghost and his statue haunted the Tennessee legislature. The Republican-dominated House voted to remove $250,000 earmarked for the Memphis Bicentennial that's scheduled for next year after the city engineered a way to remove the statue in December along with a statue of Confederate President Jefferson Davis. The amendment was adopted in a $37.5 million spending bill that was working its way through the state's chamber for approval. Quote,
who's Jefferson Davis and what did he do wrong?
Jefferson Davis was the president of the Confederacy, as it mentioned immediately before saying Jefferson Davis.
Thank you, Derek. Thank you.
State Rep. Antonio Parkinson, who represents Memphis, told the Washington Post on Wednesday, "This is one of the most vile racist acts I've seen happen in the legislature."
Wait, what was the most racist thing? Saving the statue?
Withholding $250,000 from the city of Memphis's bicentennial scheduled for next year.
Okay.
I don't know how that could be considered to be a racist thing. Now, it's definitely retaliation.
So wait, is the statue gone or is it still there?
Story says the statue was removed in December.
Okay.
So statue of Jefferson Davis and the statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest, both removed back in December. And the legislature yesterday voted to retaliate against the city.
I see.
By withholding money that they had previously earmarked for the city.
Got it. Okay, so a little smack on the hand, not that they are going to go take the old statue and put it back up.
Correct.
Okay.
We're talking about $250,000. What do you think the city council is going to do? Do you think they're going to stick to their guns, or do you think they might...
Well, now they're just going to have to, if they want to put it back, they're going to have to spend more money to put it back, right? Like, you have to hire a crew or whatever of statue removers.
That's not cheap. And then even if they do put it back, there's no guarantee that the legislature would then say, all right, you get the $250,000.
No.
Well, if they're specifically withholding the $250,000 because of this, then why wouldn't they?
They'll spend it somewhere else.
Well, see, we've removed the earmark.
Right.
That doesn't mean that we're still setting aside the money because we removed the earmark.
Well, I think this is more ammunition for my belief that all the statues just need to get taken down. I mean, let's just be fair about it.
On public property.
Yes. All statues on public property. Thank you for the clarification. On public property, on government property, take them all down. I don't care if they are the Confederates, if they are the Union soldiers, or whoever it is we're talking about. Former presidents, whatever statues there are on public property,
and
take them down.
What about the Statue of Liberty?
And Christmas trees. So if you can't have your nativity because there's a Christmas tree in your way, and you can't have your Wiccan or whatever you believe in because the Christmas tree is taking up all that room, well, how is that fair?
Daryl, you asked a really good question, though. What about the Statue of Liberty?
That's technically government property. It is
a
national park.
That'd be a tough one to take down, too, wouldn't it?
Well, one of the interesting things about the vast majority of these statues, including the Statue of Liberty, they were gifts from various organizations. The Statue of Liberty being a gift to the United States government from the French government.
By the way, the Nathan Bedford statue was a gift.
Right.
Through private donations.
Right. Mm-hmm. Probably the Daughters of the Confederacy. I'm guessing this article doesn't specifically mention who made the donation, but I know that most of the statues... Hell, that glorifying war statue in downtown Keene was donated by some organization.
Really?
There's a little plaque saying who it was.
Well, they can have it back, as far as I'm concerned. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. I'm sick and tired of seeing all these war statues around.
Yeah.
855-450-3733. If you like a statue, put it up in your front yard or at your business or on your property.
Or a museum.
There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. We'll talk about... This is Free Talk Live. You're invited. If you want to join us on the radio here, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom, 855-450-3733. Skype username is LRN.FM. Here in the studio with you tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
You know, if you are interested in learning about Bitcoin, if you're new to the world of cryptocurrency, get started over at Bitcoin.com. There's really no better place to learn the history, to learn the importance, why Bitcoin is a paradigm shift in the way we think about money and the way we use money. Go to Bitcoin.com. You can get started there. Great place to do that. Also, Bitcoin.com has other features that you might be interested in. If you're more of an old school Bitcoiner, you want to get the latest news headlines, just go to news.bitcoin.com. You can do that there. And it's totally free. So once again, that's news.bitcoin.com for the latest news headlines about Bitcoin from around the globe. As we continue here, we'll take your calls and thoughts. An update coming up here on Bill Cosby and the retrial, where he's being retried for sexual assault charges. And then I said we were going to talk about Dick's Sporting Goods. They are doing some what is just an absolutely ridiculous thing here with their guns that they're no longer going to be selling at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Are they giving them away?
Nope. It's pretty ridiculous, but we'll get into that coming up here in moments. First, we go to Bad Slave. He's in New Hampshire on via Skype. Go ahead, Bad Slave.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I am perfectly happy to speak with you. The idea of memorials to war, particularly when it is my considered opinion, I've done a lot of historical study for the past, three or four decades. And the truth is that the U.S. should have never gotten into any war since they kicked the Brits out.
Yep, that's pretty much true.
Which time? And, in 1776 or 1812? Because they were both kind of wars against Britain.
That's true. Less so for 1812 than...
We are losing you, Bad Slave. I don't know if you are on a bad Wi-Fi connection, but we're definitely losing you. It sounds like you might be back now. Go ahead there. What were you saying?
Okay. I was just saying that I think the important one was, of course, the War of Secession. What the War of 1812, I that one I haven't studied as well, so I'm not going to make any claims, but... I'm pretty certain that there shouldn't have been a Shea rebellion, against taxes. I think that people should not pay taxes. But the thing is that all of this honoring of war is just so that the powers can be, all they have to do is snap their fingers and, throw a few lies out. And we're back in a war.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we are right now. It's crazy. And for everybody to, we got to honor our vets. I'm sorry. There's not a vet alive that has really performed the protection of liberty. It just hasn't happened.
Not in our lifetime.
No, yeah. Heck no. Not in a couple of friggin' centuries, really. And so I'm really tired of it. Ian, you're definitely, we're on the same page on this one, right? It's just completely, we're upside down.
Well, we have a military veteran in the studio with us here. Conan, I mean, your thoughts as somebody who was in the military.
I was a mercenary. I was doing it for the college.
Is that right?
A lot of my family members are in the military, so I mean, it was already,
the natural
I was
thing.
Brought up in it, mm-hmm. and it was just the natural thing to do, and I was a young, dumb 16-year-old, and it's like, well, what am I going to do with myself? 4 years of military, that'll keep me busy. But a lot of a lot of my cohorts were in the same boat. They were doing exactly what I was doing. They didn't have anything better to do. It's a good paycheck. If you got someone telling you what to do.
Don't have to pay rent.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I made good money, by the way.
Yep.
A lot of people complain about how they, they don't. But I am very, very glad that I got out when I did, because I missed all of the the two decades of war we've been in, you know, just by the skin of my teeth. But
they first run you through the local indoctrination center and, you know, dumb you down to the point where you don't know what's even up anymore. And then you get out into the world and graduate high school and, oh, what am I going to do with myself? Oh, well, there's this military thing. Mm-hmm. You're dumb. You're an idiot. Let's go ahead and sign up.
And all the while, they've been telling you how much the police and the firefighters and the military are our heroes, and they've been dying all these years for our freedom and our democracy. And
they're what I like to term destructo bots. They are automated men who claim to be doing something beneficial. But they're just an automation of human beings destroying things.
Well, very few people would join the military if they thought they would be doing something evil, right? Like, they buy into the propaganda that they're fighting for freedom, even though it's pretty obvious that politicians don't really care about freedom and that they're scum.
No.
But, you know, that's who you're fighting for, military people. You're not fighting for me. You're not fighting for the people in the United States. You're fighting for the government. You're fighting for the politicians.
You're fighting for rich men.
Yeah, exactly.
Rich old men. And if you really want to see
how
damaging this is on the folks, all you have to do is look at the suicide rate of military veterans.
More suicides than actual deaths over in the Middle East.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bad Slave.
I appreciate it. It really does leave a horrible lasting impact on our frail mentality. You know, taking another life,
going over
there and destroying other people's lives, and then coming back to this, to what you think is going to be a real life, and realizing what you've done and all the havoc you've caused.
Yeah, you can't just leave that
and
over
there. That's what I'm saying. I'm so glad that I missed all of that.
And, you know, I like looking at sort of the historical evolution of war, if you will,
Can you say that? Evolution of war? Does war evolve?
That there is.
It's still just killing.
Well, it first started to where you had rival kings or princes or, you know, just rulers of some sort that would fight one another on a field. And then it evolved to where the king and his army would fight another king and his army.
On a field.
Yeah. A specific area.
Right.
And then you remove the kings and it was the armies fighting in a specific area. And now you just have, you know, these planes flying over areas and dropping bombs.
I don't know if that's evolution. That sounds like it's devolving, that you're getting more innocents involved in the conflicts over time. I mean, it's certainly helping protect the kings, but that's about it.
Well, it's not evolution in the sense of we went from, you know, one animal to a more intelligent species.
Well, right. Generally,
it's the
evolution
of here's how it progressed.
I see.
Progression is better
even though progress still suggests progress.
Regression.
More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful, full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available on Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free here and bring up anything that you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Also, Skype in if you like. Skype username is lrn.fm. You can join us on the Discord on-air call-in line room, where we had a few calls last night. And it always sounds so much better than pretty much everything else. So if you want to get on the Discord, go to discord.lrn.fm. Daryl, you were just informing us during the break, I think it's worth talking about on the air, of the sad passing of, I think, a lot of people's favorite kind of character actors out there. Arlie Ermey passed away this week. For those that don't recall the name, Who is he?
Well, he's the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket.
That's the most probably memorable role, I think, for a lot of people.
And he also did a little gun show on History Channel or the whatever channel a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think it was History. And one thing that most people don't know about Arlie Ermey is he worked in sort of a behind-the-scenes role in basically every war movie over the last 25, 30 years.
Like an advisor capacity?
Yeah.
And we were talking in the last segment how people get sucked into this
into war.
And as much as we really like this guy, he was a fantastic actor.
Sure.
He's part of the problem.
He's probably right. part of the reason
he
why people
really he really made it look I mean even though if you and no I'm not spoiling the movie or anything, go watch Full Metal Jacket.
It's supposed to be an anti-war movie.
It is an anti-war movie, yes. and Emery doesn't end well. His character doesn't.
No.
He doesn't make it to
halfway.
Act two,
yeah.
if you will.
But he still made it so memorable. People, you know, hear Daryl over here quoting lines that, you know, yeah. from 35 years ago, because they're just so entertaining.
Yeah, I've actually only seen that movie one time, and it was, I don't know, probably like a decade ago. But it was, you know, it was pretty good. He was actually also a voice actor as well. He was the soldier in Toy Story. So if you remember the little toy soldier
yep.
character that they had there, that was Arlie Ermey in that. And he actually was in one of my favorite old video games from the early 1990s, back when they had what they called full motion video games. He was in a game called Double Switch, and he was a main character in that particular game, and that's kind of where I got to.
Yeah, I would imagine he's got that voice. I would imagine he voiced a lot of.
Well, and that it was really him.
Little cameos and little spoofs like that all over.
And he's been, you know, he was active right up till the end,
right.
Because one of the things I asked you when you said it was Arlie Ermey passed away was, well, how old was he? He was only 74.
Yeah.
Because. I mean, in the early 1990s, when he was in this video game, he looked like an old guy. That would have been 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? He's 25 like, years ago.
He's like the opposite of Patrick Stewart, who has always looked, he's always looked old as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even, I guess being bald will do that to you.
So anyway, rest in peace there, Arlie Ermey. We've had definitely some talented actors. I was watching the television. I was actually out at one of the cryptocurrency accepting places here in town in Keene, having some dinner tonight for the show, and they had the television on, which almost never see television because I just don't, you know, I've never had cable television as an adult ever since I moved out of my parents' house.
Yeah, but, yeah, we cut the cord. People are, the oldsters are talking about cutting the cord and how great it is. It's like, yeah,
I never
had it. We never had the cord. It was non-existent.
But they were reporting on Barbara Bush, who passed away this week.
Oh, you mean Aleister Crowley's granddaughter.
Is she really Aleister Crowley's
granddaughter? It's out there. It's very interesting.
Okay. Aleister Crowley, of course, what was he, the founder of like the Illuminati or something like that?
No.
He's Church of Satan.
Yep.
Oh, really? Huh.
Let me see if I can look that up and find some more information on
but
that.
But it's tough to watch that kind of stuff, not because she's dead or whatever, but because you have to watch all of this like hero worship surrounding
right.
her, like, oh, she was the leader of the free world, and she was, everyone looked up to her, and here we are live in Kennebunkport, Maine, where she spent a lot of her time, and we talked to so many people, they all said they would be in mourning, and they were so sad that they would never see Barbara Bush around town again, and everybody is just so upset over this, and I'm like, she was the wife of one of the top thugs in the world.
Right.
This is part of what is going to be tough to get over. You were talking about the worship for the military. This is the same aspect, except it's the worship of the people who command the military.
Right.
The worship of presidents and their wives and their families as though they are better than everybody else. They get better burials, you know, better funerals.
They get to lay in state in the rotunda of the Capitol.
Yeah, and then, of course, all the other presidents who are still alive always come out. So, you know, even though they're supposed to be enemies, right, like Barack Obama versus George W. Bush
As
versus
Jesse
Bill Clinton.
Ventura said, wrestling and politics are very much the same to where you portray being enemies in front of the camera. After the show, you're having a beer together.
This is true.
The difference, of course, being that wrestling is entertaining and politics is terrifying.
Correct.
Well, I would guess that some people, as much as they spend their time reading the newspaper and watching these programs and getting into it, you think that it is some kind of entertainment to them, that they're feeding off of
For them. I mean, the news junkies.
They hate, right? But they're hate watchers. So they might not like what they're seeing, but, I mean, they just can't get enough of it. They're always glued to
it. Well, they love it when their team wins.
Correct. Right?
When their guy gets elected, then it is a lot like sports in that way, where it's the go team mentality. They don't even know what their team really stands for, but they know they like what that one guy said on that one team that one year, and so therefore go team.
Right. And, you know, in a lot of ways, it's kind of like if, and to bring it back around to wrestling, if your favorite wrestler is a bad guy, you're going to look the other way when he winds up cheating, when he makes a low blow, when he skirts the rules.
They don't cheer them on when they do that stuff.
I think they cheer him on.
Don't you want to see him be bad?
I think there are more fans of Darth Vader than there are Luke. I'm sorry. For whatever reason. The bad guy he can be just as much a hero.
Right.
When it comes to entertainment. And
right.
I think we're going back to politics being entertainment. I think a lot of people see Trump, and when he's acting all crazy and throwing people under the bus.
Right. But I forget if the Republicans are red or blue, but, you know, the team elephant, they're just going to make excuses for all of the horrible things that, you know, one of their guys does.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody from Team Donkey does it, they're going to put, see, he did this thing. Just sort of like, again, in wrestling, where if it's your favorite wrestler, you'll make excuses for that low blow. Mm-hmm. But somebody does a low blow to him. Oh, well, he just cheated. You can't make a low blow.
I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That
said,
though,
the ref wasn't looking, so it's okay.
That said, if I'm cheering on the bad guy, I'm cheering him on because they're the bad guy, right?
Right.
You want to see them do bad things. Remember the, what was it, the Rogue One, that sort of midpoint or that prequel Star Wars movie?
By the way, the best Star Wars episode ever.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's the best one ever, but controversy over that.
Because it didn't follow the whole beaten, it didn't follow this the formula.
That's true.
Right. Some people liked it because of that, some people didn't like it because of that, and then I heard that the next one was too much like A New Hope or Revenge of
the one prior to that.
Something.
Anyways, you're saying that at the halfway mark, it changed gears?
No. What I was going to say was about cheering on the bad guy. The big part that really seemed to get a lot of the reaction in that movie was toward the very end, and I don't think I'm spoiling anything because this movie, the Rogue One, ends at the very beginning of the first Star Wars from 1977.
Right.
So we all know what happens there, right? Darth Vader's going on that ship. He's after Princess Leia. And so at the very end of Rogue One, Darth Vader, it shows his entrance onto that ship, and he is just effing people up, man, left and like he's using the Force and just throwing guys left and right, and it's like really an awesome, really sort of visceral scene.
Do they play the Imperial March?
Probably. I don't remember.
I think they did, actually.
It was an epic scene. I mean, it was really worth waiting through the whole movie to actually see that, even though you know what's going to happen the way it was shot.
And then it ends really on a CGI'd up Leia.
You know, the CGI in that movie was pretty good. I was watching it with my now ex-girlfriend at the time, who had never seen a Star Wars movie before. And so she didn't know that Grand Moff Tarkin was a dead guy. The guy who was one of the main characters in Rogue One, who was a real life actor in 1977, passed away at some point, and they created
brought
his character.
They brought a couple characters.
Brought
back.
Him back from the dead, and she had no idea it was a CGI character. Had no idea. Toll free number here, 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. I knew he was fake, but it was still pretty persuasive to watch him. It was easy enough to suspend disbelief in that case. There's more coming up here, whether you want to talk about pop culture or whatever. Also, Dick's Sporting Goods will tell you what ridiculous thing they're doing. This is Free Talk Live. You may dial toll-free here. Our number 855-450-FREE like freedom, 855-450-3733. You can, of course, bring up anything that is on your mind. Joining you here tonight, you've got Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
Freedom's Phoenix is a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. If you want the newest and freshest stories and perspective on current events from those who value liberty, then freedomsphoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. It's Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. That's Freedoms Phoenix. .com. As we continue, we'll take your calls and thoughts about what you want on the way here. The latest on the Bill Cosby retrials. We haven't really talked about what's been going on with that since the very first day of jury selection, where a topless protester attempted to run up and do something to Bill Cosby. She was interceded by various different police who arrested her. And that's what we discussed in the past, but we'll get to the latest on what's going on here in moments. First, though, to the Discord on-air call-in line room, where Gene the Christian Anarchist is on the line with us. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. Hey, I thought I'd weigh in on the statue here in Memphis, since I live in the outskirts of Memphis.
Oh, all right. This is about the founder of the KKK and a statue controversy, where it apparently has already been taken down. But now the state of Tennessee, according to Daryl, has struck back against the town that or the city that took it down there, Memphis.
Well, there's some things that probably aren't coming out in that story. And, you know, I'm not really a racist kind of a guy, but, you know, I'm living here in the South and I'm not going to make a lot of people happy because I see racism problems on both sides of the aisle. And I see as many blacks fueling the fire as there are whites. So,
nobody's impervious to racism. I mean, there's racism across all people.
But this whole thing with the statues, again, I think it's silly to go tearing down statues. It reminds me of the Cultural Revolution in China and the.
What if I want to pay for it? What if I want to donate to take down a statue? Because I'm willing to.
That's fine, sure, as long as you're not destroying property that other people have a claim to. Now, what they're not telling you about this Nathan Bedford statue is it's not just a statue. It's a headstone for his grave. His grave is still there in that park. That's why it's named after him. He's buried there, and the statue was his headstone. Huh. So not only have they taken down historical property, which was against Tennessee law, because the Tennessee government did pass a law saying that these places are preserved. And then the city council in Memphis, which was predominantly black, decided to sell this park, which they didn't have the proper authority to do so, to a sham organization, also by predominantly black. Well, I think it's 100% black.
The people. Nonprofit was Memphis Green Space, and the article says that they sold two parks that contained the two statues. Sold the parks for $1,000 each, which is probably back in December. And then after the parks were sold, the statues were removed.
Oh, that's an interesting detail.
Right, yeah. Yes. There's a lengthy article here, and we only covered just what the retaliation was. We didn't cover the backstory.
The statue was removed in like 24 hours. I mean, they did this basically in the dark of night. It was all, it was a dirty shenanigan is what it was. Mm. And like I say, it was a gravestone.
You're saying it's a headstone, but is his body under there as well, or is he somewhere else?
Yes, yes.
Did they move his body?
So they didn't dig up the grave, did they? No.
They're talking about moving his grave as well, but they just ripped his headstone off, basically. And so they're defacing graves and moving statues that really had been donated by friends and family or whatever, and they're still family members that are part of the group that go down there and take care of them.
Where did these statues wind up going? Because I'm guessing they didn't take it to the the metal scrapyard and
sell it for recycling. This is another very prickly point, because the statue they claim is in storage somewhere, but nobody knows where. They're not disclosing the location, and they've been instructed to take good care of the statue. Well, we don't know if they're taking good care of it or chopping it into pieces or, you know, letting
or selling it to an art dealer.
Sure. Yeah, they don't know.
Tell me more about this $1,000 deal. So you said the city sold the park to this group for $1,000.
Well, I don't even think the city can sell the park because they don't have.
Is it a state park?
I think what they sold them was the rights to the park rather than the physical park. I'm not sure on those details, but at any rate, it was against the state law.
Was it like one of those sweetheart deals where they just sold it without putting it out to bid? Like we're just going to give you this price.
Yeah,
I see.
This was an.
See, that part I disagree with. I think that if you're going to sell public property, you need to put it up to the highest bidder. Because I do support the idea of ending public property, ending government-run property, and
right.
you know, turning it all over to private hands. But the best way to do that is to just put it up for the highest bidder. That way, the government can take that money and you know do other things with it. At that point,
right.
it's
and
a legitimate
the,
sale.
The article here from the Washington Post says that the city skirted laws meant to block the removal of statues and memorials on public grounds by selling the parks.
Mm-hmm.
To a nonprofit, and then the nonprofit removes the statue, and the nonprofit is not prohibited from
right.
removing.
That seems legitimate to me. Like, that's a legitimate workaround, except for the fact that they didn't take bids. If they'd taken bids, then it would have been legit.
They could have got Walmart to bid on that little piece of property because they want to set up shop right there in the middle of downtown.
I don't know how big this square is, but.
But of course, that's why your property. City is never going to auction off. Pieces of real estate in mm-hmm. because they are afraid of who would buy it.
Right.
If it's some nonprofit that basically are in their pocket and they know it's going to leave it as green space or whatever or take down statues, then they're cool with
it.
But they don't want the big boys yeah. getting their hands on that prime real
well,
estate.
Right. Unless until we can finally get enough liberty people elected to government, like here in New Hampshire, where we could actually see some sort of principled sell-off of all this government land. I think you did this study, Daryl, where you found that 10% of the square area in Keene, New Hampshire, where we live, where we do this show from, is owned by the city.
And that's not even counting the roads, because the roads are made from right-of-ways.
Right.
But, you know, like actual plots of land.
Right, buildings.
10% of it.
Buildings. They were
buildings and land.
They
yeah.
are renting and leasing out buildings
some
in
of
downtown.
It. So where Corner News is, which we've talked about Corner News on this show before.
It was the first
corner store.
First little shop to take cryptocurrency
right.
here in Keene.
The owner of that business owns the building, but does not own the land. The city owns the land that the building sits
yeah.
on.
It's crazy. Gene, any other comments tonight?
Well, I just wanted to point out that a lot of the black people are stirring up, and sure, black people have been getting a raw deal for a long time. I stand up for black people all the time. Those guys at Starbucks, they got a raw deal.
Mm-hmm.
But when black people try to be belligerent in return, it doesn't help the situation, and it really kind of causes the white folk that didn't like them to begin with to rally around the injustice that they're getting back.
Well, I think it's not fair to talk about black people, white people, this and that. I mean, these are individuals that we're talking about. So some people are going to be in favor of it. Some people are not going to be in favor of it, whatever the issue happens to be. So it's never fair to do
that. But you've got to admit that it's still a black and white issue. You've got the green space was all black people. The city government was pretty much 90% all black people. So it was obviously a black people thing that they did.
I can understand why somebody wouldn't want a statue around of the formative leader of the KKK. I could totally understand that.
Yeah. I mean, sure, if you have a legal claim to it, that's one thing. But to take some guy's headstone away and then hide it somewhere where nobody knows where it is.
Like, I'd never heard of the dude before today, but the people living in Memphis who, you know, they had families back then in that area, they probably didn't forget.
It was a very famous area. In fact, I wanted to go down there and get some pictures because I knew they were eventually going to tear it down. But
Gene,
thanks
for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
I am completely all right with this statue being removed.
Yeah.
I think the shenanigans that took place to get it done is very weaselly.
Sure.
But hiding, they say it's the storage, but I mean, the issue is here, the statue needs to be returned to the rightful owners, but the statue shouldn't be there. I'm sorry.
The rightful owners are the people that own the property now.
And I think nothing, like you said earlier, nothing should be there.
This is a libertarian win, right? I mean, you sold off some public property to a private owner.
It's a nonprofit.
Well, it's still not the government, though, right?
They're in their pockets.
There's more coming up here in moments. 855 450 Free Like Freedom if you want to join us here. It's Free Talk Live. Cryptocurrencies are successful because of good technology. The liberty-loving voluntarists who founded Zencash in 2017 took the best tech, like zero-knowledge anonymity and decentralized autonomous organizations, and are creating a secure platform for money, messages, and media that can be sent to anyone, anywhere in the world. Zencash is a cryptocurrency dedicated to peace, anonymity, and decentralization. Find out more at Zencash.com. That's Zencash.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Dial toll free here and bring up anything that you want. Our number is 855-450 free like freedom. We're launching into the second hour of the program with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian
and Conan
and Daryl.
855-450-3733. Skype username is lrn.fm. The Discord on air call in line room is there for you too over at discord.lrn.fm. Let's go right back to your calls and thoughts. And then coming up, we'll tell you about the latest on the Bill Cosby retrial, the sexual assault retrial. Again, the first time around, it was a hung jury. We'll give you the latest on what's happening there. And then also an absolutely ridiculous story about Dick's Sporting Goods and guns, what they're going to be doing with them. Bo Diddley, although, is on the line here, somebody calling themselves that, calling from South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Bo. Bo Diddley? Are you there? Going once. Bo Diddley, going twice. We'll see if he's got maybe a better sell or something like that. Put him back on hold. Meanwhile, we go to Skype, where Dave Ridley is on the line, listening in New Hampshire. Hello, Dave.
Hi. I think it was Mark who asked me to call in if I had any updates on this Ed and Elaine Brown news.
What is the news with Ed and Elaine Brown? For listeners who aren't familiar with the names, this is an older couple. They're probably getting up in their 80s or early 80s maybe now, that a decade ago, or just over a decade ago, was arrested by the federal government in what was a very long standoff, I think maybe 6 to 9 months standoff at their house in Plainfield, New Hampshire, where I believe Dave, you and I both went to visit during the standoff. To meet the Browns. These people were accused of not paying income tax, and they made a stand. They did not fight against the government. They just simply threatened them and ultimately, of course, got taken down.
Was it income tax or property tax?
It was income tax.
All right.
To my knowledge. And ultimately, the government took the property, of course, and then they sat on it for years, and then the government had the federal government had a tough time trying to sell the place because nobody wants to buy a house that could have mines, landmines, or other booby traps that, you know, might be set about the property.
Right, and nobody really knows if those are there, but the feds have said, we think there might be.
Yeah, it's buy it as is, and then you figure it out.
Did this couple threaten that they would booby trap the place?
There were people there who threatened various different things over time. I couldn't tell you exactly what the threats were from Ed Brown. I mean, he did not want to go to prison, obviously, and he was pretty loud about his opposition to the federal government. So it wouldn't surprise me if Ed Brown had made some sort of more specific threat, but we're talking about 12 years ago now, so I don't recall exactly. But anyway, what's the latest on what's going on with them, Dave? Because they're in prison.
One of the people who was active in raising concerns about their treatment at the beginning, you know, in 2007, was Keith Champagne. He lived in, I guess, New Jersey or Connecticut, if I recall, at the time. He's since moved to New Hampshire and become a Free Stater, I believe. But he was always kind of a credible and a soft-spoken, level-headed seeming activist, and I haven't had a lot of contact with him recently, but he sent me a note a few days ago saying that there was an indication that a federal case called the DiMaia case could result in Ed and Elaine being freed. He emailed me today, I guess, or maybe yesterday, to say that the DiMaia case was just successful against the feds.
And what is this case? Do you have a summary of what it's about?
My understanding from Googling it was that it wasn't getting much attention at all, and it was some sort of an immigration-related case. But the way Keith Champagne describes it, it seems like it would have implications in terms of like some people getting sentences that were beyond the maximum, which certainly should be an there could be a possibility with all of the Brown arrestees that are still in prison. Easily, all of them could have been sentenced to more than the maximum. For all I know, I mean, they were sentenced to so much.
Yeah, the DiMaia case is about immigrants that are in the country legally and possible deportations So I don't know how this would wind up applying to Ed and Elaine Brown, who are not immigrants to the best of my knowledge.
Right. I couldn't figure that out either. But Keith believes, he believed a few days ago that there was a chance they could get out. And now he says, quote, they are definitely coming home, unquote.
Well, I appreciate the optimism. I guess I would like to know more about his analysis and, you know, why he feels like they're going to be coming home, because, I mean, that'd be great news. I mean, nobody really wants to, can't imagine anybody wants to see people perish in a jail cell and die because right. they didn't pay some arbitrary extraction by the king.
Right. They didn't hurt anybody.
They certainly didn't. The only people who hurt people were the federal government agents.
They hurt my roads, Ian.
Who came down there and attacked people and arrested them and then put them into prison cells for, again, just wanting to be left alone.
Well, they arrested one of ours, one of the Free Staters, Lauren Canario, for just trying to visit them.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Anything else you want to share tonight, Dave Ridley?
I have quoted the email into my audio recorder, and we'll be uploading that on the Ridley Report, but it might be tomorrow before it appears.
That's over at RidleyReport.com. That's Dave's YouTube channel. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. As we continue, you can bring up anything that you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE like freedom. And actually, Ed Brown, he was one of those guys that was like tough to really like because he was just so crazy, you know, like he believed the Illuminati was after him. He was kind of one of those guys, and you know, by all evidence, somebody was after him for sure. I don't know if it was right. the Illuminati, and I had mistakenly associated. You mentioned Aleister Crowley earlier in the show tonight when we were talking about people who passed away. Barbara Bush died. Apparently, there are allegations that she is the son of Aleister Crowley.
The daughter of Aleister.
She looks like a man. I was looking at the news footage of her, and she did not look very feminine.
She's always looked a little butch.
But Crowley, apparently, one of you mentioned that he was the founder of Satanism. That does not appear to be accurate. You might be thinking of Anton LaVey. Crowley actually claimed at one point that he was not a Satanist.
Right. I am thinking of LaVey. Aleister Crowley, he
inspired LaVey
something.
To some extent.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I know there is something that he did with maybe the occult.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of weird occult esoteric crap.
Okay.
His big thing was the sex magic and do what you will.
Yeah, and you know, looking at the pictures of this guy, as I mentioned off the air, he looks like he should be in a live-action role-playing group or something like that. I mean, he looks like just a total dorky dude, which might explain why he got into a sex cult so he could possibly get, you know, get laid.
What better way?
But
he and Barbara's mom
allegedly
they were friends, but she came right over to the States, and a year later Barbara was out and eventually she ended up marrying one of America's royalty.
Right. And of course, if you want to get into, you know, esoteric stuff, you can find all kinds of like connections between families like the Bushes
the presidents
and like creepy esoteric order kind of clubs like the Skull and Bone Society that apparently George W. Bush was a part of, and likely his father was also a part of, which is one of those, you know, secretive organizations.
And he killed Kennedy.
Who? His dad?
Bush's, yeah.
Because he was a CIA director?
Correct. He was there. Of course, he won't admit that he was there, but there's plenty of pictures of him right there.
He's the only man that was alive in the United States that does not remember where he was the day that Kennedy was assassinated.
He was right there.
Wait a minute. Was he the director of the CIA at that time soldier?
No, I think he was the director.
I don't recall. Because
they're not going to have
the director
go out and pull the trigger on something.
No. I'm not saying he did it.
Right. You're saying he ordered it done. Yeah, he ordered it. Yeah. I mean, you can get into these areas, and it's a very deep, dark rabbit hole. And all you need to know about these people is they want to control you.
Right.
You know, whatever their personal beliefs are about their religion. Because, again, just because Aleister Crowley was an occultist doesn't necessarily mean his daughter was. She may have been, you know, somebody who considered herself a good Christian. But all that said, there's definitely some very creepy things that have been associated with the Bush family over time. But the creepiest thing is the fact that they want to control other people, and they send people to their doom in the form of the military, and they're no different than any of the Democrats that
they
have been
sacrifice
people that are not theirs to sacrifice.
Correct.
Toll-free number to join us on the radio, 855-450-FREE like freedom. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. More coming up. We'll tell you what's going on with Dick's Sporting Goods. It's pretty ridiculous. It's Free Talk Live. You are invited to join us right here on the radio. Take control of the airwaves and bring up anything that you want. Our number for you to do that is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Daryl, tell me about Liberty.menu. What is it?
Liberty.menu is a social networking site of sorts where, at its heart, is a directory of liberty-minded businesses. It's something that libertarians have been asking for like a decade at least. And, well, there's not really been one that has taken off.
Yeah, they never really have. And they've always been kind of lackluster, never really.
But Liberty.menu, you know, again, they've added this social networking aspect to where you can wind up rating and reviewing businesses and events, kind of like Yelp.
Yep.
But you can
only for Liberty-friendly businesses.
Right. And you can also connect and share with others. And again, it's a tool for our community. Again, at its core, it's a directory for events, businesses, and digital content, and more. Use of Liberty.menu is exclusively for individuals who reject the initiation of force and for those who agree to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle. Put your voluntarist ideas into action at Liberty.menu, and if you use code FTL in that activity code area, you wind up getting a special Free Talk Live listener badge.
Sweet.
Liberty.menu.
Because we can't give you a discount for putting in code FTL because it's free.
Right.
So you just go there and, you know, load up whatever businesses, whatever entrepreneurial things you've got there so other libertarians can find you.
Yep. And find events such as ForkFest.
All right. We'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit. So check it out at liberty.menu. As we continue here, we'll take your calls, your thoughts about what you want. This is a name we haven't seen on the phones in a while here on Skype. He's Ricky from the Commonwealth. Hello, Ricky.
That'd be the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania there, Brother Ian.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, it's been a while since I've been here. I've been very busy. I'm famous now, Ian.
You're famous? It sounds like you've downgraded the quality of your phone, though, so you don't sound more famous, I'll tell you that.
I know this headset's crap, okay, but don't worry about that. I'm sorry. I'll work on it. I'm not going to use it anymore. No, here's the thing. I'll tell you about how famous I am.
All right.
I'm as famous as the famous Twitch from the Skype chats. That's how famous I've become.
You're as famous as who?
Twitch.
Twitch, the website where you can stream video of...
Twitch the girl. Twitch killed your waffles, the girl.
I don't know.
She's quite famous. Look her up.
I've never heard of her.
Never heard of her. Can't be that famous.
Can you claim somebody's famous if, Conan, have you heard of this Twitch girl from the Skype chats?
Her name is Twitch?
That's what he's saying.
I've never heard of her, but I don't follow Twitch either, so...
Well, no, it's a Skype chat. Somebody who's in... Ricky is obsessed with these Skype chats. They're these group chats where, like, dozens of people will be in a chat on Skype, and it's just, we've had somebody add us to some of these things on our Skype here, and it's super annoying because it's just a bunch of crap.
Okay,
is this like the new ham radio operator thing where they just kind of, everyone's monitoring a channel and they just get in and start talking,
I think you're thinking about CB radio because ham radio is licensed, whereas CB, well, it was for a time license, but they got rid of the licenses.
Well, I know this is free and all, but similarly, you have
Party
you
Line. It's Party Line. Yeah.
Well, here, I'll tell you this there. Now, I own the Skype chats because I've been down there.
You own the Skype chats. Every Skype chat, Ricky owns them. Now, what does it mean to own it? Huh?
I'm the top cop on there. I mean, I'm the most popular man on there.
How do you know that?
How do I know that? Yeah. Because it's my, first of all, I'm leader of the Confederacy on there. You don't know this, but we fought the Civil War for a month.
You fought a Civil War on a Skype chat.
That's right. And
so,
I'll tell you
there was like a schism, did the chat group like break into two and became another chat group?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Doesn't work that way. Hundreds of groups, across hundreds of groups, 300 people about. Now, here's the point of this. I had a hidden agenda because I'm on there catching pedophiles. I've got the person down in York, Pennsylvania, as young as 10 years old, that child prostitution ring started in the first quarter of 2017. That's why I'm on there. But my hidden agenda, there's a lot of Commonwealth of Pennsylvania stuff all over the country. People are all of a sudden surge for, you know, freedom and independence. Mm. You know, I've been using that for my hidden agenda.
So, okay, let me see if this is a little jumbled here, Ricky, as it tends to be with your calls. So I'm going to see if I can sort out what it is you're saying. You have gone into Skype chats, large group chats on Skype, with the intention of taking down pedophiles.
And promoting liberty.
The Confederacy.
The Confederacy, right. He believes he's a reincarnation. He said this before. He didn't say it tonight. But he believes he's the reincarnation of someone we were discussing earlier, the president of the Confederacy. What was that guy's name again?
Jefferson Davis. How well did you know Bedford? Was he a good guy?
The KKK guy?
Yeah, Forrest Gump.
I don't know him. I do not know him. Thank you.
The general. His statue is right next to you in Memphis, or it used to be in December before they took it down.
I don't know him. I don't know him there, brother. I really don't.
So
he doesn't come into me. I don't have any connection.
So are you going into like pedophile chat rooms, or where are you doing this investigating?
Okay, first of all, I've been investigating ever since after Valentine's Day is when I started. Okay, now, if you want to hear about that, I'll tell you. We can talk about the Confederacy another day. Now, I went in there, and the people I mentioned, unfortunately, one of these pedophiles is the one that was adding you, a man by the name of Dylan. He started calling himself Dylan of the Commonwealth. Well, we took care of that.
How did you take care of it?
Well, like a deputy of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania would, ultimately.
What does that mean?
Well, I got him in a room alone, and we had a little talk. That's all right. His dad's also in on the CP.
Where did this guy, this alleged pedophile that you're talking about, does he live there near you in Pennsylvania?
I got about 12 of them, actually, total. I got four of them already I'm done with.
Plus, when you get one of these guys in a room? Like, what is that like? What do you do to them?
Well, first of all, see, you got to understand, it's been mass hysteria because they've been trying to cover up themselves and, you know, the one shenanigans, he's the one behind, he was involved, he's a fake truck driver. And he was in New York, Pennsylvania, I was going to go get him. No, he's not. Actually,
there's a lot of things you can fake in this world, but why you would fake being a truck driver, I don't know.
Well, you remember the guy with the ice cream truck? Come on, they don't care. That one, as young as 10 years old.
Oh, so you're saying he was like an ice cream truck driver. He was, okay, no, that makes a little more sense, right?
He was posing as an ice. Huh? He loads trucks. He doesn't actually drive a rig. Well, now, I, on the other hand,
why would you fake that?
Because he's a pervert, dude. There was a sudden
loading trucks is not going to get you close to children. If you're driving around an ice cream truck, then I could see that that would make sense, right? Like, if you don't have a real ice cream truck, but instead you're just abducting children because they think that you've got ice cream.
Right. I'm making a joke there. That's how he travels.
Well, this isn't really a funny topic.
It's not.
I mean, you're talking about actual, like, danger to
children. No, it's terrible. I've seen horrible things. And I was deputy of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. One of the things they don't do, the new modern version of swatting, is throwing child pornography on somebody's device. You know, they won't do that to me because I can, if I need to, can not only be in some of these horrible rooms. I've saw a room. I got to go up to New York. I got to hit Indiana. And I got to hit Texas right off the bat.
Look out, Indiana. Look out, Texas. Ricky is on the case. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. He's coming to a chat room near you. 855-450-3733.
To promote the Confederacy.
3733.
And to keep you
take
safe.
Down the pedophiles. 855-450-3733. Also, you can join us on Skype at Skype username lrn.fm or hop into the Discord on-air call-in line room at discord.lrn.fm. Speaking of sexual assault, we got the Bill Cosby allegations coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. LRN.fm now has a Discord. Discord is a free text and voice chat platform, and we now have our own server with a bunch of channels at discord.lrn.fm. You can join other listeners as they chat about various things during our live shows or anytime, day or night. Discord software is available cross-platform, so you can have it on whatever device you want and take your chats anywhere. Join our Discord at discord.lrn.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm. Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free and join us here. Our number, 855-450-FREE-LIKE-FREEDOM. That's 855-450-3733. Skype username LRN.FM. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
The latest on the Bill Cosby sexual assault retrial. They couldn't get him either found guilty or not guilty at the previous attempt, so they're trying it again. We'll tell you more about that coming up here in moments. Also, Daryl, you'd mentioned ForkFest in the last segment, and that is coming up, and it'll be here sooner than you think. We are about 2 months away from the second ever ForkFest. It's ForkFest 2018, happening June 14th through the 18th in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire, Rogers Campground. It's going to be the festival before the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is a festival that we've attended for many years in the past. And there was a bit of a schism, a bit of a fork, if you will, in that particular festival attending audience. And some people wanted to turn the ForkFest into like a family friendly only kind of an event. And then the people that, you know, maybe wanted to have a little bit more fun that might not be acceptable at a family friendly event, they didn't have their own event at that point. So now we've just got a decentralized event called ForkFest, and it's decentralized because there's nobody in charge. There's not a board of directors. There's not an organizer. It's just some of us decided, yeah, I think it was actually on the air, it was you, me, and Will Coley. Daryl, we just sort of talked about, hey, let's do this 5 days before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It'll be called ForkFest and or whatever you want to call it, because nobody's really in charge of this thing. There is an unofficial website you can go to at forkfest.party. There's a Telegram chat group. There are some chat rooms on the LRN Discord, and you can link to all of that over at forkfest.party. So it's up to you to create what happens at ForkFest. Maybe you don't want to create anything. Maybe you just want to, you know, relax at a campsite, hang out with some libertarians. You'll be able to do that. And it sounds to me like more people are planning on attending ForkFest this year than attended it last year, which makes sense because last year it was a pretty last-minute thing that we, you know, some people just kind of threw together. And this year, people are throwing things together a lot earlier.
Right.
But we don't know what things because nobody's really in charge. I would say the best resource is probably the ForkFest forum, because there you can have individual threads about whatever different events that people want to do on their own campsites, whether it be selling food. There's already talk about there being some food vendors, which will be a first because there weren't any officially there for ForkFest last year. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of develops, what springs out from a completely unorganized event. It's ForkFest.party. Go learn more about it and mark your calendar for June 14th through the 18th here in New Hampshire. Bill Cosby's sexual assault trial is back on. It is a retrial. We reported a couple weeks ago that there was a topless protester who got arrested outside of the trial, and that's something we don't see a whole lot here in the United States, but she was one of the femen protesters. We've seen some of them doing topless events in places like Russia and other Eastern European nations. It was the first time I'd ever seen a femen event in the United States, so that was newsworthy. But also, of course, what's going on inside the trial is pretty interesting because, you know, a lot of us grew up with Bill Cosby, right? Like, we didn't know him. You know, how many of us...
America's dad.
Well, and you know what? I never really watched The Cosby Show, although that's certainly what he was big for. I mean, I might have encountered a couple episodes here and there as a kid, but I saw him on, not Reading Rainbow, that was LeVar Burton, but there was like this thing that he did on Nickelodeon where it would be in between like commercial breaks. They had
thing
where he had this pen and he would draw and this, there was like books that they would send you. And they were really long commercials
He was Reading Rainbow's cousin.
Yeah, there were really long commercials for like this drawing subscription service, basically. And what you would do is you'd subscribe to it. And I think at one time my parents had subscribed me when I was a little kid to this thing. But they would send you a book, or like a coloring book or something, or like Connect the Dots, maybe it was. And
picture pages.
That's it, picture pages. And thank you for that, Daryl. Thanks to the thank the internet, right? You
looked
that up somewhere. You would like connect dots or whatever, and he would do the thing on the television, and the idea was you were supposed to do it along with him. So it was almost like, you know, Bill Cosby was leading you through this this picture pages thing.
Didn't he voice a character in a cartoon like
Fat Albert?
Yeah.
Fat Albert was his character. So Bill Cosby was a comedian, right?
So they probably built that cartoon around his character.
Yeah, I remember. That was actually how I knew who Bill Cosby was, rather than seeing him on The Cosby Show, was my parents actually had some of his old comedy albums. So
I have a couple of them myself.
They were funny, man. He had some really good comedy acts that he did.
I picked them up. I thought they might sell for some good money. But
did
no
they?
One, no, one, no, I no. still have them.
Nobody wants albums anymore.
No, they don't want that crap.
So here's a bit of a summary of what some of what happened earlier this week.
What was the FEMA girl? What was she actually protesting? Was she there protesting Cosby or something?
Cosby.
Something else.
Cosby. She specifically came to his trial. She's a former actress on his show, on the Cosby Show from the 1980s.
Mm.
So she was like a teenager, a young teenager. She was one of the friends of the Cosby character's daughter on the show.
But isn't that the opposite of what you would want to do, is to get topless at a in front of Cosby if he's actually a problem? I mean, aren't you defeating the whole argument?
The point is to get attention, Conan.
Well, I get that part, but...
If she had just stood there with a sign, it wouldn't have been newsworthy. She got news coverage because she stripped down and the cops came after her. There were like six cops that went after just a topless lady. And they threw her in the bushes and like had to fish her out of there. And it was a scene.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I remember.
She wanted to cause a scene, and she did. And she got all kinds of photos and all kinds of news coverage. We talked about it. I wouldn't have even known the Cosby trial was happening if it wasn't for her.
Well, it's been going on forever.
Right, but I wouldn't have. I had no idea that there was even a mistrial. Or a hung jury. I had no idea about that. And so that they're restarting it.
So they're retrial. They're having a retrial.
Correct. And he, of course, is accused of sexual assault against Andrea Constand. That she's the victim in this case. But, of course, there are many women who have come out and said that Cosby has victimized them. Some of those women were expected to testify at this this retrial. Prosecutors delivered a 1-2 punch on Monday as chief accuser. This is from, by the way, Yahoo News. Chief accuser Andrea Constand rejected defense allegations that she concocted her story to score a big payday, and her mother testified that Cosby apologized. Because Cosby did, I believe, make a fairly large payment to Ms. Constand about a decade ago. Andrea and Gianna Constand's testimony followed that of additional five accusers who told jurors that Cosby had drugged and assaulted them 2 decades earlier. Constand had accused Cosby of drugging and molesting her at his suburban Philadelphia home in 2004, and Cosby has denied those allegations. Prosecutors were building to the conclusion of their case against Cosby. He had arrived for the trial. Spokeswoman for the 80-year-old comedian blasted the chief accuser and her mother as they arrived at the courthouse in the morning. Ebony Benson says Andrea and her mother's testimony, quote, seemed to be more colorful and embellished than during last year's trial that ended with a hung jury. Constand on Monday denied making up her story. And let's see, what else? The judge ruled that day that the jurors can hear the comedian's prior testimony about giving quaaludes to women before sex. So this was in a previous case. Judge Stephen O'Neill ruled, this was Tuesday, that prosecutors can read the testimony into the record at Cosby's retrial on charges he drugged and molested Constand. He had testified at a deposition related to the lawsuit against him, or Constand's suit against him, that he had gotten quaaludes from his doctor in the 1970s. He said he was given 7 prescriptions for the now banned sedative, ostensibly for a sore back. He had said he had never taken the drug himself, instead saving it to give to women with whom he wanted to have sex. Cosby's lawyers argued the testimony is irrelevant to his retrial because there's no evidence that he gave Constand the drug.
Is this something that famous people have to do to get sick?
What, get quaaludes?
Yeah, to drug women and knock them out to actually have sex with them.
Well, that's a good question, Conan.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard from some people that a lot of times, you know, famous people will hire prostitutes. Not because that's the only way they can get laid, but because prostitutes tend to stay silent about what sort of freaky things people are into. And in this sort of case, this is rape. Rape isn't about sex. It's about power and control.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Let's come back with more here, because this is pretty creepy, you know, that he actually admitted to having quaaludes and giving them to women specifically before sex, under oath, under deposition. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You can join us on the radio. Take control of the airwaves here at 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You are welcome to join our Discord server, and you might find some people you like. You might find some people you don't like. There are some people who do not like each other who are battling it out on the Free Talk Live chat room tonight, and actually for the past uncounted nights, I think, at this point.
Since the beginning of time.
But the good news is there are other rooms. You can join various different rooms for various different topics, like gaming, cryptocurrency, New Hampshire, other things like that. And then, of course, there's the one that people are most active in during the show, the Free Talk Live channel. So go and check that out. And you can also join us on the air through Discord via the on-air call-in line room. Just go to discord.lrn.fm. You can test out the online version. They've got a web app for Discord. But if you like it, you can download their app and put it on whatever device is your favorite or more than one device. I've got Discord on the studio computer here, and I've also got it on my personal cell phone, so I can always check in there and see what's going on. And it's free, so you can get involved, and I think over 600 people have signed up thus far for the Discord, and I was actually looking at statistics the other day to see how many of them have actually like come back, because it's one thing to say, oh, we got 600 members. Well, yeah, but how many of them have actually used it within the last week or so? So yeah, over 608 members, and according to this, we now have, I don't know, I'll have to figure out that later. But anyway, there was a way to figure it out, and I just don't remember what it is at the moment. Oh yeah, prune. I have to hit the prune button, and then it'll tell me more than 7 days ago. Yes, so 300 members have not been there in 7 days. So prune. We got half of them. We got half of them.
Like the fruit?
Prune, yeah, like prune
or like
them out.
The prune,
like to remove.
A tree, yeah.
Like, yeah, like I can remove the, if I wanted to. I haven't done this yet, but I could remove people who have been inactive for a certain amount of time. So anyway, the toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. More about what's going on with Bill Cosby and his sexual assault retrial here. They couldn't get a conviction. They couldn't get a not guilty out of the first time. And so this time around, the judge has ruled that the prosecutors can actually read into testimony Cosby's statements at a deposition related to a lawsuit against him by the same alleged victim, Andrea Constand. And the deposition that will be read in is testimony where Cosby says that he received Quaaludes from his doctor in Los Angeles in the 1970s and then has given those Quaaludes to women that he wanted to have sex with. So he's admitting to drugging up women with the intention of having sex with them.
And what we were talking about in the last segment, not just having sex with them, but raping them.
Well, right. Raping them ostensibly while they're out of it.
Correct.
Right?
Against their will.
Yeah. But he's probably going to argue that they wanted the Quaaludes, that they knew what he was giving them, and that they were taking them consensually. Would likely be his argument. I don't know. I'm just speculating here because otherwise, I mean, that's a pretty clear, creepy, horrifying thing to admit to.
Right.
Right. A police sergeant has told jurors, this was on Tuesday, that a suburban Philadelphia prosecutor abruptly shut down an initial investigation into allegations that Cosby had sexually assaulted a woman. Cheltenham Township Police Sergeant Richard Schaefer testified that then Montgomery County District Attorney Bruce Castor announced he was closing the 2005 probe just hours after investigators met to discuss leads that needed to be followed up. Castor ended the investigation into Cosby 4 weeks after Andrea Constand told police the comedian had drugged and molested her about a year earlier. The prosecutor had said evidence showed both parties, quote, could be held in less than a flattering light, unquote. His successors reopened the criminal case in 2015 after Cosby's testimony from the civil suit was unsealed. That is to say, the testimony about him drugging up women with Quaaludes. Cosby claims that the encounter was consensual. According to the story, the 80-year-old Cosby Show star says he gave Constand 1.5 tablets of the cold and allergy medicine Benadryl to, quote, help her relax. So you look at what he's admitted to. He's admitted to having Quaaludes that he claims to have been given a prescription for, I guess, before they were outlawed, and then giving that to women to, you know, make it easier to have sex with them, presumably.
Yep.
And his attorneys argued that, oh, well, you shouldn't let this in, Judge, because he's not being accused of giving her a Quaalude. He's being accused of giving her Benadryl. Well, how did she know it was Benadryl? It sounds to me like he's been holding on to some Quaaludes for a long time.
Like, but it also goes to show the character. It's kind of like some of the stuff in the OJ trial to where I believe the defense didn't want the history of some of the cops being shown to where
they were corrupt.
The cops had admitted to planting evidence. Well, irrelevant because they're not being accused of planting evidence in this trial, but it goes to show a history.
Right.
If you have a history of planting evidence, then chances are you planted evidence in this case. If you have a history of giving women quaaludes and then raping them, then it goes to show that you have a history of making women unconscious so that you can rape them.
Right. And what level of honesty was he, if any, you know, when he was providing these women with the pills? Was he telling them that this is going to knock them out? Was he telling them this is going to take the edge off? You know, what was he telling them? And did she know it was actually Benadryl? He says she showed no ill effects from the pills and did not object when he touched her. Cosby told investigators he had a social and romantic relationship with Constand. She says Cosby knocked her out with the pills and then sexually abused her. Cosby's first trial ended without a verdict. More from the story here. Jurors are getting a sense of Bill Cosby's view of consent from a lurid deposition testimony in which the comedian described reaching an area, quote, somewhere between permission and rejection, unquote.
What?
During what he claims was a prior sexual encounter with his chief accuser. I mean, what kind of legal what is kind of talk is that? You know what I mean? When Bill Clinton said it depends on the definition of what is.
Yep. Yeah.
The comedian reached an area, quote, somewhere between permission and rejection. So that means that they're not quite conscious enough to consent, but not quite conscious enough to reject. That sounds like rape to me.
Yeah. She didn't say no, but she wasn't able to say no.
Right.
So, like, that's the same as yes, right? And, no.
Well, maybe she was playing hard to get. Maybe she was playing the game, the cat and mouse game.
Well, and that is part of the difficulty of these allegations is that, you know, what really happened behind closed doors? Was it as she describes it? Was it as he describes it? Or was it something else? You know, is the truth somewhere in between what the two of them were saying? Cosby testified a dozen years ago as part of a civil lawsuit that Constand filed against him. And so they're reading excerpts from his testimony at the actual criminal charge trial that's happening now. In the deposition, Cosby graphically described a sexual encounter he says he and Constand once had. Constand has testified she rejected his previous advances, and the former Temple University women's basketball administrator accused him of drugging and molesting her at his home. And finally, here, jurors at the sexual assault retrial. Let's see here. Yeah, that's just a summary. So that's the latest there on Cosby. There's one other little addition from pjmedia.com. This is more of an opinion piece, but I'll take the most relevant portion here. When asked, why didn't you have sexual intercourse? This was a police officer asking Cosby in 2004 in relation to an investigation on these allegations. Cosby responded, quote, I don't like it, unquote. Okay, this is supposed to be his defense. This is what his attorneys are putting on as, oh, well, Cosby, he wouldn't have done this. He doesn't like sexual intercourse. Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe that's true.
Yeah, didn't Michael Jackson say the same thing?
I don't know what he said, but in this case, maybe it's true Cosby doesn't like intercourse. One of the accusers, because we read her part of her claims a couple weeks ago, she claims she came to consciousness with him penetrating her mouth. So just because he doesn't like intercourse of the traditional variety doesn't mean he doesn't like sticking himself in places where he was not welcome to be. So, you know, I don't – this sounds like a pretty weak defense to me, although all he needs is one person to vote not guilty in order for this to be another hung jury, of course. So where this one will end up, we don't know. It's – you know, the allegations here are pretty outrageous, and, you know, a lot of people obviously grew up watching this guy. And, you know, you watch somebody on television, you don't really know who they are. You just know they're who they're acting to, you know, pretending like they are.
Right.
And similarly, these women didn't know who he really was, if indeed he was really this molester, rapist that they're trying to make him out to be. If you want to share your thoughts, you're welcome to do so. 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Some creepy sounding stuff here. Somewhere between permission and rejection is what Cosby said he was. and he's given him, you know, drugs. He's testified to that, too. Hour number three is coming up.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101ReasonsFilm.com. 101ReasonsFilm.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of the program. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever you want. Our number 855-450-FREE like freedom. I've got an absolutely ridiculous story. I actually happened to see this on the news earlier tonight. Dick's Sporting Goods. They are going to be destroying the guns.
What?
That they are taking off of their shelves.
Oh, what?
By the way, in the studio with you tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
Yeah, you heard about probably the news about Dick's Sporting Goods, Walmart, other stores, these mega corporations trying to act like they are, you know, responsive to what the people supposedly want, or at least certain loudmouths who get a lot of attention in the news media, like
right.
This, what's that kid's name from Parkland?
David Hogg.
You know, these people are making a big stink, so the corporation's got to run out in front there and act like, you know, they've changed their corporate minds and they're now really concerned about these things. Well, Dick's is trying to one-up Walmart here. Instead of just saying they're going to take guns off their shelves, the so-called assault-style rifles, they're now saying they're just going to straight-up destroy them.
Wait, is Walmart removing guns or just raising the buying age?
They're removing certain... Same thing with Dick's.
Oh,
scary
guns.
They're removing the scary guns.
Assault-style
The ones that can be turned into fully semi-something with a 30-round bump clip stock.
Because you can't assault anybody with a handgun. No, that's impossible.
Or a knife.
Right. So here's a story from the New York Times. Instead of returning to manufacturers the inventory that they have of guns, they will just go right ahead and destroy them.
Are they going to make art out of these things?
I don't know. It's the latest action taken by the Pennsylvania retailer that agreed to ban the sale of assault-style rifles, at its 35 Field and Stream stores, and to stop selling firearms and ammunition to anyone younger than age 21. Since the massacre at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, in February that left 17 students and staff members dead, corporations have quickly responded to the public's growing demand for responsible gun control measures. Because that would have stopped the shooting, right? If Dick's Sporting Goods and... Oh, wait, how old was the shooter in this case? Wasn't he like...
He was younger than 21.
Yeah, I thought he was younger than 21.
And didn't he also not have permission of whoever he got the gun from?
Generally, they usually end up stealing guns from the people that they get them from to do these things. So, you know, of course, people who are willing to commit school shootings are people who are willing to commit crimes, which means that they don't have any problem acquiring guns through illegal sources and illegal means, which means that no corporate policy is going to keep guns out of their hands. But this is all about image, right? This is all about image in the same way that Starbucks is closing its stores this week sometime for a few hours to retrain all of its
employees. No, it's going to be like Memorial Day.
What do you mean?
The day that Starbucks is closing.
Okay.
It's the end of May. They're not closing this week.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They made the announcement this week.
Ah, I see.
But it's going to be like Memorial Day.
But it's all about image. It's all about, you know, pandering to whatever particular viewpoint they feel is being held by a large number of people. Because obviously you're going to upset some people. You're going to upset whoever it is that was the regular, you know, gun buyers, ammo buyers at the Field and Stream stores. And they're willing to, apparently.
You know, I work at Enterprise Car Rental for a couple hours every week.
Mm-hmm.
And they went ahead and removed their discount to gun owners.
To NRA?
To NRA. And for a whole month, we had these old guys coming in or calling in.
Really?
And they're like, I just want you to know I'm not written from you this week. Just want you to know, and I'm hanging up now.
That is
funny. It'd just be that simple. Or they'd come, old guys would just come in, guys we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Hold on. So why were people boycotting Enterprise?
Because Enterprise removed their
NRA discount.
Their NRA discount.
Okay. Just like Delta got rid of their NRA discount, and a bunch of people were all up in arms. I'm never flying Delta again.
Yeah.
And then Delta said, "We've only ever had like a dozen people request the discount in the history of ever."
Yeah, I believe that. So going on here, the school shooting in Parkland sparked all of this. Several retailers agreed to stop selling firearms to younger consumers under 21, among them Walmart, the nation's largest gun seller, L.L. Bean, and Kroger, which said it would restrict gun sales at its Fred Meyer stores. Walmart also agreed to stop selling toys. Stop selling toys online that look like assault-style rifles. This is the end of freedom. This is it right here. They're stopping the sale of toys online. I presume that also means in stores, because why would you stop just online? How many of us grew up, we all grew up in the 80s, right?
Right.
How many of us grew up watching, Arnold Schwarzenegger movies and, on television or whatever, and then, you had the toy machine guns that you'd buy down at Walmart or Kmart or whatever, and they were either cap guns, which, of course, they've long since banned caps.
Oh, I miss cap guns.
And then, they had the ones toward the end of the 80s, they had the ones that were, they'd make noises without caps, like electronic noises, and that was just good, clean fun for young boys back in the day. Apparently, that now, makes people think you're going to be a killer, because everybody I knew would play games with these guns, play pretend with these guns. And it didn't mean they actually wanted to hurt each other. It was just fun. We knew the difference at that time. We were old enough to know the difference between, real violence.
And I think that's part of the problem. Violence. It's not just the psychotropic drugs a lot of these kids are on, but it's actually you've taken away the make-believe part. So they go from, they have a hard time associating reality with the fantasy. They didn't have the opportunity to fantasize and to play with their friends with these, toy weapons, or to actually have, maybe a .22 rifle or a BB gun or a pellet gun that they could grow up with shooting squirrels and stuff in their backyard.
Learn some responsibility.
They went straight from 0 to 100 instead of having that in between where they could learn, the difference between what a, what a toy is and what a pellet gun is and what a real rifle can do.
I mean, this is to me like more evidence of the just kind of wussification, if you will, of young people.
Of young men, of young boys in this country. Yeah, it's absolutely true.
And it's that the fact that Walmart is going to stop selling so-called assault-style rifle toys is ridiculous. And that's not all, though.
Yeah.
Kroger has announced in March that it would stop selling assault rifle-themed periodicals.
What?
Wait.
Magazines.
Kroger is a...
gun magazines. It's a grocer.
Kroger's a grocery store.
Yeah.
Grocery stores sell magazines.
Yeah, okay.
Now, look.
A couple.
We all know magazines are going out of style, big time, so I can't imagine the whole magazine section is really generating a whole lot of sales in general, but to specifically target, guns and ammo or whatever, assault rifle themed periodicals. So, is a handgun magazine still going to be okay as long as they don't put a assault rifle?
It depends. Can you put a 30 round bump stock on a pistol?
Probably not.
You mentioned that they probably don't sell a lot of magazines, so this isn't really going to hurt them. It's going to improve their image. They're probably not going to lose money on the lack of sales.
Right.
Next question is: does Walmart? Because they're not just making these decisions willy nilly. I mean, They're worried about their image.
Yep.
They're considered of their image, and they're probably also considered that they're not really going to lose money. And the question is Dick's Sporting Goods actually selling that many weaponry these days to make a decision like this? Because they sell a lot of stuff.
Well, they're saying
shoes and canoes and tents and how many guns do they sell?
Well, apparently Dick's has a subsidiary called Field and Stream, and it is going to be Field and Stream that is not going to be selling these so-called assault style rifles. So presumably these rifles are probably not available in your standard Dick's store. but they were in the Field and
so
Stream.
So they're still going to be selling weapons.
Correct.
Just not the Field and Stream weapons.
They're still going to they're not going to sell the so-called assault style, so they'll probably still sell handguns.
Right.
Or maybe like a bolt action rifle or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to hurt them. I'm still not going to shop with them.
I have no interest in.
First of all, they're super expensive.
Dicks.
Yeah, and I don't camp, so I have no reason to go there.
You can get your camping stuff on Amazon. No
of course,
problem.
I do buy stuff at Walmart every now and then. So now
they also sell stuff other than camping and shooting. They've got
all kinds of sport.
They've got running stuff.
Yeah, it's super. I'm not buying $150 tennis shoes.
As we've pointed out in the past,
I don't buy my shoes from Dick's.
You know, when we were talking about National Service years ago on Free Talk Live, there were all these corporations signing on to support this, you know, state-forced, state-sponsored, government-run National Service program. And it was just like, you know, if you don't shop at the stores that do objectionable things, you don't have anywhere else to shop because basically they all do objectionable pro-government things.
Yep,
there's more coming up here. 855-450 free like freedom. Join us on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Join us right here. Our number 855-450 free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Dick's Sporting Goods announcing that they are going to be destroying their inventory of guns and accessories that they've determined they are no longer going to be selling. Not just send them back to the manufacturer, you know, RMA, get a refund from whoever their wholesale suppliers are. No, we're just going to go ahead and melt these things down.
What if they're going to bring out like a bulldozer?
And make a big show of it, you mean?
Exactly. Put them out on the street and run them over.
I don't know.
Look at us.
Can they write that off as destroyed inventory?
I don't know anything about tax law. You have to ask Melanie that question. Tax.freetalklive.com. She can help you there. But yeah, you're right, Conan. If they're going to make this ridiculous statement, go all in. Go all in with a big show and invite the media, and they get all kinds of publicity
out
of
something.
Or
like Daryl said, like melt them down and like make a statue out of them, like a big peace sign or something.
Put it up at the corporate headquarters.
Yeah, sure.
Like
be all right.
I mean, look, I am in favor of peace, which is why I support people's ability to own guns, because being able to defend yourself is a way to increase peace, because when some psychopath comes after you or your family or your children at school or whatever, it's good to have good people with guns around. Whether it's a pistol or a rifle or a so-called assault rifle, it's just, you know, the difference is in degrees of how effective they are in different circumstances. And actually, in this case, according to the story at the New York Times, Edward W. Stack, who's the chief executive officer of Dick's, acknowledged that the company sold a shotgun to Nicholas Cruz, the Parkland gunman. So the shotgun is not being banned from Dick's.
Even though that's the weapon that Dick sold to this guy.
So, and by the way, Cruz is still alive. He is now in the news saying he wants his inheritance to go to the victim's fund in this case. Apparently, Cruz, even though he's 19 years old, already has a sweet inheritance coming to him, which may be as much as $800,000.
Yes, his brother here might have $1 million.
Right. So what he's trying to do here is get out of a death penalty. He's trying to take a plea in order to get out of the death penalty.
Right.
The idea that this is going to get these types of weapons off the streets is just
ridiculous.
It's laughable. Because, I mean, sorry, Dicks, you're not going to be putting them on the streets any longer. But guess who is? You're going to have police officers selling their own weapons or weapons they confiscate right out of the trunk of their car.
Do you have a story about that?
Well, I can find that one and bring it up.
I believe it.
It just happened recently.
So that is a thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
I thought you were just speculating that could happen.
Or they'll be selling them, or the big agencies would be selling them across country lines to Mexico, and the Mexicans would be selling them right back to us.
Like happened in Bush or Barack Obama.
Out of the trunks of their cars.
Well, what do they call that, the gun running thing?
Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious, that's right. Let's go to the phones here. Your calls, your thoughts. You bring up what you want. It's Rob in Charleston, West Virginia. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing this evening?
Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
All right, man. I just want to know if y'all have heard anything about City National and Bank of America refusing to loan gun manufacturers any more loans.
Actually, there's something here. Well, there's a related bit of information in this story from the New York Times. Says here, Citigroup said it would restrict the sale of firearms by its business partners, demanding that guns not be sold to people younger than 21. So basically, if you use Citigroup as your banking provider or they are your credit card processor, they're going to reject any sales that, or they're going to basically say, yeah, we're not going to do business with you if you sell, if your policy is to sell to under 21. So it wouldn't surprise me they're doing what you're saying there as well.
And then headline from the LA Times from 2 days ago mentions Bank of America had also recently made an announcement. Article says made the announcement last week that they will no longer finance companies that make the kinds of combat style semi-automatic rifles that have been used in deadly mass shootings.
So there's your story, Rob. Yeah, sounds like you're right about that. Your comments?
You know, I've always said I don't think they'll go door-to-door getting your guns from you. I just think they'll make it impossible for you to actually get a gun. You know, either they'll make the ammunition so expensive you can't buy it, or gun manufacturers have to go out of business because they can't afford to make guns anymore.
Or they'll just create a culture of young people who are afraid of them or don't understand them, or like
don't want to buy them.
Like this hog kid, eventually they'll just not buy them anymore.
Well, that's why I think it's all the more important that we see people migrate based on their beliefs, because it's pretty clear we can't all get along in the United States, and we're never going to. So let's just call this experiment a failure. The United States experiment. Let's dissolve the whole concept and have, 50 different state governments out there, 50 different nations where people can move to. So the people who want to control guns can go to the gun control states.
50 or more.
Or whatever, yeah. 50 or fewer. I mean, whatever. The more the merrier, though, as far as I'm concerned. Let the lefties that want to have no guns go to gun control states where there'll be mass shootings happening, left and right. And then, people like that believe in freedom can come to New Hampshire, where we've got relative gun freedom compared to every other state out there, and very, very few gun violence incidents.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, you guys know and everybody knows, when you're underage, you can't drink, you find a way of getting something to drink.
Sure.
You ban all the guns. People that want to commit crime are going to find guns.
Absolutely. I'd be willing to put money on a bet that David Hogg has had drinks at age 17. I bet he has had alcoholic beverages and gotten drunk at his young age of 17. In fact, I bet most of us in the studio have done that. Rob, good call, man. I appreciate it. We'll let you get back to the kids there in the background. Appreciate hearing from you. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. So,
we were talking about the police confiscating guns, taking them to their lockup, to their holdup, evidence, and then they're just disappearing. I see these stories all the time. I'm sure our listeners have seen them. I just pulled up the first thing that was on Google. This is a Bay Area Group watchdog report. 944 lost guns.
Oops.
717 unaccounted for, 192 stolen, and 35 misplaced.
These are things that were, again, put into evidence lockers?
Correct. So 944 guns from Glocks, Sig Sauers, Remingtons, a sniper, and assault rifles, some equipped with grenade launchers. They used to belong to a law enforcement officers across California, but a new Bay Area News Group investigation found hundreds of police-issued weapons have either been stolen, lost, or can't be accounted for since 2010.
Mm. Did any of those often have the chainsaw bayonet?
You mean like in what video game
Evil
has that?
Evil Dead?
No, USA Today had posted a graphic a while back showing various attachments that could be added to these assault weapons, and one of them was a chainsaw bayonet.
Mm-hmm.
How does it operate? How do you run it?
It's fake. It's
got to be
just...
The USA Today actually published this thing,
fake
but
news.
It's not an actual attachment.
Right. Oh.
So there's all kinds of jokes, and one of
I would hang that on my wall.
One of the people that I'm friends with that actually hosts a Star Wars podcast. I forget if it was Roger or Brian, but they posted a thing showing a Death Star attachment
to the band for a Death Star
to the
bayonet.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'd hang that on my wall, too.
All right, 855-450-FREE like freedom, 855-450-3733. We'll continue. We'll take your calls about what you want. But yeah, you've got corporate America here, a lot of these corporations coming down hard on gun owners. And, you know, the only thing that's going to work here is for people to, you know, just separate themselves into physical locations where you can be with people that agree with you.
Some of you asked, and now we've delivered. LRN.FM's live Keene, New Hampshire studio shows are now streamed in HD on Twitch. Visit our channel at twitch.lrn.fm and give it a follow. If you have Amazon Prime, you get one free subscription on Twitch. If you use it on our channel, Twitch will give LRN.FM a monthly piece of your Prime subscription cost. So please watch, follow, share, and subscribe to twitch.lrn.fm. That's twitch.lrn.fm.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Bring up what you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE like freedom. 855-450-3733. We like freedom. We like cryptocurrencies because cryptocurrencies are a path to increase your freedom. When you're not, when the money that you have isn't relying on the state or these mega banks. We were just talking about Citigroup and Bank of America putting in new policies to try to restrict gun sales. You know, when you're getting away from banks and the government's money, which is, of course, the U.S. dollar or any other fiat currencies around the globe, and you use cryptocurrencies, you are putting the power of money into your own hands. Now, we are big fans of cryptocurrency in general, but there's a bunch of choices out there in the world of cryptocurrency, close to 1,600 different options listed over at coinmarketcap.com. How do you know which ones you should seriously consider picking up? Well, I mean, Bitcoin is the obvious, you know, top of the heap. It was the first one. It was the first decentralized cryptocurrency, and it's, you know, pretty awesome because of, you know, being there first. But there's been some pretty great technological advances since Bitcoin came out. Bitcoin's almost a decade old at this point. Now, they can upgrade it over time, so right. It's not exactly the original Bitcoin that it once was. But one of the things they've never added to Bitcoin is any privacy capability whatsoever. So while there are semi-private ways that you can use Bitcoin,
coin mixing, things of that sort,
right? The whole thing is public. The ledger, the blockchain that's behind the scenes, it's the public ledger that is the guts of Bitcoin. It's completely public. You can look at every transaction that's ever occurred. It's all out there. Zencash is one of the few privacy coins out there that's worth talking about because not only do they have some of the best technology in the form of zero-knowledge anonymity-style privacy, they've also got decentralized autonomous organizations they're working on to govern the Zencash currency. They've got more than 8,000 secure nodes, which means they're one of the most secure networks of any cryptocurrency out there. So you want to talk about privacy, security, great technology, they've got all that. And on top of that, they've got the philosophy of liberty really written right into their white paper. It talks about voluntarism in their white paper. Go and see it for yourself. Learn more. Do your due diligence. And then maybe get involved over at Zencash.com. That's Zencash.com. We're talking about corporations, corporate America, coming down on gun owners, coming down on other companies, you know, preventing the bankers, apparently, some of them, like Bank of America and Citigroup, preventing the people they're doing business with from selling guns under the age of 21. As our caller from West Virginia just pointed out, apparently Bank of America has also said they're not even going to loan money to anybody that's going to be manufacturing certain types of guns. So, yes. You know, if you want to build a new manufacturing plant, you can't get a loan from Bank of America for that. And so it's getting more and more difficult here in the United States to be a gun-oriented business. Kroger banning gun magazines of assault-style rifle magazines from their magazine racks. I mean, all these little things that they're doing, you know, they're doing it to get publicity. They're doing it to take a side, and they believe that they're taking the right side. But how do you really calculate this stuff? I mean, as a CEO or a board of directors at a corporation, you're not on the ground. You're not, as you said, Conan, you have old guys walking into the rent-a-car company that you work for that made some, you know, anti-gun decision or whatever, and they were saying, well, I'm not going to rent a car from you. You know, you heard that feedback because you're working.
A lot of it.
Right. You're working there. You're there every single day. This corporate board at, you know, Bank of America or Dick's Sporting Goods, the CEO, they're all cloistered up in their high-rise offices. They have no idea what, if any, feedback is being given.
Right, and most of the time, they don't even realize how any of the policies that they make affect the average worker.
Right.
That's one of the things that I like. And, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV shows, but one that if I happen to stumble across an episode of Undercover Boss, will watch it.
I've seen a couple. Yeah.
Because it's one of those things to where the CEO puts on makeup, and a lot of times they'll like add facial hair, or if the person has facial hair, they have them shave it off and,
right,
you know,
change the appearance, and they go and get a job at their own company.
You know, if you normally don't wear glasses, they'll add glasses. If you wear glasses, they'll give you contacts, and then they go work in the stores, and then they realize, oh wow, I didn't realize that the policy that I made saying that we need to do this is actually affecting people this way.
Right.
There was one of the episodes where I think the guy went to Dollar General.
Really?
And I heard you talking about Dollar General last night for some reason, but
Stefan called in. He says they're taking over the world.
Dollar General?
I don't know about that, but
they're taking over America.
Yeah, you know, the CEO, he had no clue that when they decided that we're going to have the cashier also be the stock person, that it was affecting things the way it was.
Yeah. Surprise.
Because Dollar General isn't open the way Aldi is, to where, you know, if you're the cashier and you're also the stocker, which they do at Aldi, you can actually see from anywhere in the store to see if somebody's up at the checkout area.
By the way, Aldi's is slowly taking over, and I'll let them.
Are they?
Okay. Yeah, give them another 20 years and they'll be the big boys.
This is for listeners that don't know, Aldi is like a
German-owned grocer.
It's like budget buy to the max kind of grocery store where you can get decent grocery items, but you don't even get bags. Like, you have to pay.
You can pay for bags.
If you want bags.
You have to rent.
Bag your own.
You have to rent the shopping cart.
Right. And that's actually very smart, because
the whole thing is smart.
They don't have to pay somebody whose job it is to go fetch buggies.
Correct. Because what happens is you walk up and you have to put, a quarter in to get the cart out. And then if you want to lose your quarter,
you just leave the cart out.
Then you leave the cart wherever you want. And then somebody will be getting paid to go and get that back. But otherwise, if you put the cart back at the end of your, you know, shopping trip, you then can take your quarter back. So for the penny pincher, you know, types who are going out there, the coupon clippers, these types of people who are trying to save every penny they possibly can, like Conan, it's the perfect store, because
right,
you can bring old boxes and like load up your own grocery cart.
You can grab their boxes.
I grab boxes from them and actually help them out, so they don't have to worry about breaking something down. And that's what I put my groceries in.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times. It's an interesting business model.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So let's continue here with your calls and thoughts. We got Ken. He's calling us from South Georgia. Ken, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey guys, how are y'all?
Welcome, sir. You're on the air.
All right. Okay. If I understand what I've been listening to for I hadn't been tuned in but for just a few minutes.
Yes.
But you're talking about war and the sadness of it and what have you.
We might have been talking about that earlier in the show tonight. You're probably listening on delay, would be my guess, but you're certainly welcome to comment. Go right ahead.
Okay, but anyway, the point is, in late summer 1941, my uncle was actually approached by the draft people here in the county and drafted into World War II. In March of 1942, even though there were only those two boys in the family, he was also drafted. Neither one of them got in. My father got out in December of 1945 after walking all over France in the Army. My uncle the same way. My father got two Purple Hearts. I know my uncle at least got one. And for us to be sitting here talking about war and the badness of it is one good thing. However, if they had not done what they did with thousands upon thousands of other people doing the same thing, dying, bleeding all over that area. Do you think we'd be talking English?
Yes,
or
I
Japanese
do.
Japanese or German or Italian?
I think we'd be talking English.
Absolutely, we would.
Okay, well, go ahead. Tell me how.
Because you think that the Germans are going to come across that ocean, or the Russians, or the Chinese, or the Japanese, and they're gonna attack this country?
Ridiculous.
No,
with all the rifles in this country?
The Japanese said that they weren't going to attack because behind every blade of grass there was a gun.
We had no business over there.
Ken, you stand by. We'll bring you back. We can talk further about this here. This is such a mythology, the idea that, well, if the U.S. government hadn't gone over and gotten involved in World
German.
Wars, we'd be speaking German now. Or
Even
Japanese.
Though the Russians basically had the war won.
It's ridiculous. We'll continue here with more in moments. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us on the radio. That's what we do. Open the phones, take your calls about whatever is on your mind. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. We've got Skype as well. It's Skype username lrn.fm. Or hop on in the on-air call-in line room on our Discord over at discord.lrn.fm. If you like Free Talk Live, and you appreciate the work that we do here, that is to say, getting on radio stations with the ideas of liberty, which sometimes can be shocking to those in the radio listening audience. We have one of those shocked listeners on the line with us right now. But if you want to hear more Free Talk Live on more radio stations around the United States, we've got over 180 active stations right now. We can have more than that. It just takes money to market the show effectively to those stations, and that's what Daryl and I do during the daylight hours, is call those radio stations and try to get them on board. So if you want to see us do more of that, if you want to see us get on more stations and get cool perks that nobody else has access to, like the AMP-only podcast, the AMP-only Facebook group, the AMP-only Discord chat rooms, and more, go to amp.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up with PayPal. You can use credit card and Bitcoin Core there, and you'll get all the perks, and you'll help us out a lot. So please join the AMP program and become a Free Talk Live amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. As we go back to Ken in South Georgia, Ken, you have trotted out the ages-old argument that if it weren't for the U.S. government's involvements in World War II or perhaps the previous conflict, that we'd all be speaking German or Japanese.
Or we would have never gotten out of the Great Depression. That was another big one.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so does that accurately reflect what you were saying there?
Actually, did you refer to me as a shocked listener?
Yeah, you sound like you're pretty shocked. Like, normally people don't hear this kind of talk on the radio, right?
Not so much, but shock is not a good word.
Okay, how would you describe yourself?
I'm 59 years, I'll be 59 in August, and I've seen a lot of things go on in this country and the world, and all I do is try to absorb it and make a decision on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you decided to call in tonight to talk about it, so let's talk about it. You believe that we would be speaking other languages if it weren't for the U.S. military's involvement in world conflicts in the early 20th century. That's your viewpoint, correct?
As far as history goes, you can look back at certain things that happened. Those certain things happen, and they propagate other things that are going to follow.
Right, like how the U.S. government...
World War One causing World War II.
You mean like how the U.S. government got into World War One causing World War II? That kind of thing?
No, I didn't say anything about World War One. The only thing I was talking about was World War II.
Well, but you have to talk about World War One if you want to talk about World War II. And
why is that?
Daryl, did you want to explain?
Well, World War II would not have happened had not the U.S. government and the British government imposed some pretty stringent sanctions and retaliations against Germany after World War One, and because of that, it wound up creating hyperinflation in the Weimar Republic, which led to the rise of Adolf Hitler, who wound up deciding, after he became Chancellor of Germany, that he wanted to take over Europe, basically to prove that Germany could wind up, basically recovering from World War One.
Well, we showed them better than that, didn't we?
I was not there, so I didn't show anybody.
But my my parent and my uncle was, and a whole lot of other people that most likely your relatives were also there.
Yeah, so I definitely had some grandfathers that were in the military.
Hold on. I've got a couple of questions for you. Where do rights come from?
Rights?
Yes. Where do they come from?
Yeah. Where do your rights come from?
Well, I'm curious where you believe rights come from. Do you believe that you are endowed by your creator with rights, or do you believe that rights come from government?
That's a very good question. But by the same token, what's going to frame your opinion and whatever, if you've ever been in college or whatever it is, or whatever training you've had, all those things are going to frame your opinion as to that. My rights, to my notion, come from God.
Okay, good. So right. we're in agreement here. The rights come from the Creator.
That's a very simplistic statement.
Right, rights come from the Creator. We don't get our rights because some government has deemed that we have them. We don't have freedom because people died 300 years ago. We don't have rights because of human sacrifice. True or false?
Oh, I think we have all kind of rights from humans, or at least sacrificed by humans, as far as what they did to either fight for the rights that they thought were right or not.
So
that's a contradiction with what you just said a moment ago. So you said that you believe rights were imbued by God, and then a moment later you said that rights were given through human sacrifice.
Right. If you look back at the Constitution and et cetera, when we got away from Great Britain, when the king was over there telling us exactly what to do and taking money from us, doing this, that, and other, okay? The founders, regardless of their faults, had at least a basic principle of certain things that should be done to ensure that this country was going to be able to maintain itself in a fashion where nobody else basically could monkey with us.
You know, those founders also wrote a constitution that excluded having a standing army, right? So their idea was to not go around and get involved in other countries' conflicts around the world. You do understand that, right?
Okay, that was 1700s. They didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh, so the very founders that you were just worshiping a moment ago.
The founders who wrote that all men are created equal, they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. They also wrote some other stuff, but some of the other stuff needs to be changed.
Look, I'm not saying they were right about everything. I agree with, you know, the fact they are fallible humans, no doubt about it. So what you're saying is, you're saying the founders of the United States were wrong in their idea of staying out of other countries' business. The United States should get into other conflicts around the world as it has for over 100 plus years, you know, 200 years or however long it's been, and they should just meddle and pick sides and create enemies all around the globe. And that's good for freedom.
And sacrifice their young men and women.
And that's good for freedom. That's how freedom gets grown. Killing?
All right, first of all, you just said that I worshipped our founders. One of you did.
Okay, whatever. You can just move past that. We'll say you don't worship the founders because obviously you found some fallible. You found that they're fallible, and you believe that one of their fallible, you know, aspects is that they believed in the United States keeping to its own business and not getting involved in world conflicts. You're saying if we want to stay free, we have to slaughter people in various different world conflicts, right?
All right, let me ask you this. All right, you're saying that we don't need to get into any other conflicts, okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In the 1700s and on up, as this country was doing its thing to get to weed out all the bad stuff and try to get to the good stuff, are you telling me that you don't think that in that period of time, in the last 200-plus years, that other areas of the world have come to the point that they are just totally intent on destroying us? When you see two towers fall in New York City, blown up by airplanes, when you see Japanese zeros,
damn Japs,
however many years ago that was, blowing up people, blowing up ships in Hawaii.
Which happened as a result of the U.S. government blockade against Japan. You know that didn't come out of nowhere, right? You've been around for a while, right? You know that the attack in Pearl Harbor didn't just come out of nowhere. You do know that, right? That was ginned up by the U.S. government?
I'm sure that you're going to say that the American government...
Go read the McCollum memo.
Propagated that.
They did. The McCollum memo. History, dude.
What about World War One? Okay, so you're saying...
Yeah, you mean the war that Woodrow Wilson got elected on a promise to not get involved in and then got involved in? That war? The one that the American people didn't want to get involved in?
By allowing a passenger ship to get shot down.
What do you think about Korea shooting, blowing up, nuclear weapons and shooting everything anywhere they want to over there, around Japan and everybody else?
By Korea, you mean North Korea, country that was created through... the Japanese invading the country, and then the U.S. government.
Let China and Japan handle them.
Yeah. Ken, thanks. We're out of time for tonight. You can call back any old night. We'd be happy to continue the discussion here, because we don't believe that rights come from war, that peace comes from keeping to yourself, and if you keep invading other countries, well, guess what? You're going to make people mad, create terrorism, and that sort of thing.
Don't kill people in my name.
See you tomorrow. Free Talk Live. Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm.